good evening from the Olara Motorogi concession here in, or conservancy in the northern parts of the Masai Mara. We just did a phenomenal bushwalk from Kacheche Bush Camp all the way to this incredible sundowner spot on the beautiful open plain here in the Masai Mara. And I've got a very special gentleman with me here. His name is Patrick, and he is our guide and a guide at Kacheche Bush Camp. And it's been so amazing, you know, like doing what we do, we get to see so many different guides. And I was just sharing with Patrick before we started recording that he's a phenomenal guide, one of the best that I've ever encountered on safari. And I just thought that it will be very beneficial for people listening to these podcasts while we're here in the Masai Mara. I don't know if you could hear any crickets in the background, but to talk to him and ask him a few questions about his journey with Kacheche and his journey just in life and how he became a guide and what is special about having guests and so forth. So Patrick,
yes,
thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And that I can have the opportunity to ask you some questions.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. Okay. The walk that we did was incredible.
Sure.
It's something different to be out here on foot and experience what we normally see from a game drive, but on foot.
Okay.
And what was incredible to me was your passion, to see how you tell the stories with so much passion. Even though you've probably told a lot of those stories to other guests, it still excites you.
Sure.
So tell me, Patrick, a little bit about you. How long have you been working for Kacheche? How long have you been a guide? Who is Patrick?
Yeah, so let me just say my full names are Patrick Orieta. I've worked with Kacheche for the last 19 years. I've never worked in any other company. They just took me right away from guiding school. That was right back in 2007. And I have been working here. And earlier on, I became a teacher. I was teaching in a primary school very close to my village. And then I just joined guiding school, and that is how I met Kacheche. Because the school that I was studying in connected me to Kacheche for my placement. I came, worked with them for 3 months, and then went back to school. They promised me to employ me. I came and joined them back. I've been working with them for that long. And that is a pure indication that I've really been enjoying working here for 19 years. And I'm looking forward to continue working with them. I'm still enjoying, very happy working here. And that is my relationship with the Kacheche, and that's how long I've been here, working here. The other thing, what really pushed me into or make me think about guiding, as Maasai, we are people that actually look after the cows. We always interact so much with all this wildlife. We really enjoy, mixing with them. They are dangerous, and maybe doing games and avoiding them and all that kind of thing. And I was a young boy, I've been actually seeing all this wildlife. And later on, I realized that there is actually a chance of working and dealing with this wildlife. And that is what actually made me join the guiding school and come to work as a guide.
That's incredible, Patrick. Yeah. And we mentioned earlier, we're in the Olara Motorogi Conservancy at the moment. How far is your village or your home from here?
My village is about 50 to 60 miles from here.
Okay.
So I normally just go home when I'm off, but I stay in camp while I'm working.
And then when you're home, it's like normal Maasai life.
Yeah, when I'm at home, I live like a Maasai because I'm an original one. So definitely that's what happened. I even take my cows out, interact with the local people and all that kind of thing. And I still even loving looking after the cows during my off days or when I'm not guiding.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And tell me, your family, are any of your family members also guides?
Or? I'm the first guide in our family. My dad never went to school, but definitely he have a very deep knowledge about wildlife. Most of these, what we tell our guests, what we show our guests, I haven't learned all of them in the guiding school. I've learned them in the practical life. When I was looking after these cows and sheep with my dad, he taught me a lot of things. When we were walking, there were some stories that I was telling you or some actually very impactful facts about life.
Yeah.
I learned them when I was with him. So I am the first guide in the family.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What I think is amazing, and that's what I want people listening to this podcast to understand, is your knowledge goes much further than lions and elephants. It's those animals are important, and you understand them as well. But it's things deeper. It's like what you explained to us about. We came on our walk. We came across a wildebeest skull. And this wildebeest, it was just a skull. It's been there for about 3 or 4 years, is what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And you were explaining how that will become part of the soil and how it actually works, how it expands with the heat and, you know, in and out. And eventually there's cracks and it'll eventually become part of the soil.
Sure.
So what is incredible for me is, and I want people to understand this, is that the knowledge that you have is not just about lions and leopards and elephants. It's about the smaller things like skulls lying on the ground. But then also we spoke about the termite mounds, and you could explain to us everything about the termite mounds and how profoundly important these termites are to the environment. You mentioned the keystone species. Without termites, none of the other animals will survive. And I think that's incredible. And is those things that you learn that in guiding school? Is it again from your father, or did you just experience, or how did you get to learn those things about like termites, for example?
I think we have facts, and we have learned all this in three sort of levels. The first one is when you are growing up.
Yeah.
We live in this kind of a very beautiful habitat with all these kinds of animal and small other insects and all those kinds of things. The other thing is about going to school and learning. I think the only important thing in the school is how to externalize your internal knowledge and share with people. That is the main part of the school. Otherwise, the other thing is about experience living here, and obviously what normally happens as you walk, as you work, as you do a lot of things, you are likely to encounter so many things. And there are questions that arises from what you see, from what you hear, from what actually, you know, what you feel about the about nature. There are those questions. You go looking for the answers. You interpret more deeper. And that is how you end up having all that knowledge. Because what really happened, if you look at the footprint of an animal, that is where the story begins.
Yeah.
Those small moments, you are not even seeing lion, you are not seeing elephant, you are not seeing other things. That small moment that you just pause, you look at the grass, how the wind moves those grass. Those are the real moment of nature. It is not even about watching wildlife doing their thing, because anybody can do that. But the most phenomenal and the very fundamental fact about nature is those moments that you don't see those animals, you try to see. You look across the land, there are a lot of stories that are going. You know, like you learn. We even learn things that we can even use in our own life. Like the elephants, actually, they are very, you know, they are very intelligent. The patience of the cat while they are hunting, we also need those elements in our own life, because that is the only way they can survive. So I have actually learned this all through since my childhood up to now, and I'm even saying I'm still learning. Yeah. You remember I mentioned the eagles, the vultures,
yes,
that
yes,
they are negating our thoughts, they are negating our perception. That is an indication that we are still learning.
Yeah. Will you tell us more about those the vultures that we saw on our walk?
We just saw the Rupel-Grivon vultures, and these are some of the vultures. Most of the vultures are nests around here, but the Rupel-Grivon vultures, we believe they normally nest on cliffs. We don't have some big cliffs here where these guys can nest. They normally go to Serengeti, to the western side of the Maasai Mara, because that's where we have very tall cliffs. They can only roost, but not nest. But I have just made an observation very recently that I've seen these guys sitting on the nest. So that is a question that I'm still looking for an answer.
Yeah.
And it is very important, because it tells us probably we just know part of a very small part of the nature. And that actually make us go for more deeper research on some of the issues that we encounter on our daily life while we are guiding here.
What I find incredible, and I want you, Patrick, to understand this, is the fact that it bothers you. It's incredible that you noticed this. You observed that these Rupel's vultures are nesting on top of a tree, which is not what the books say they do. The books all say, like you said, that they should do it on cliffs. And for you, it's like some people will just leave it and say, oh, that's interesting. But you actually want to get wildlife people involved to actually rewrite in books, for example, that listen, it's not just in cliffs. Sometimes it could be on trees, because this is what you're actually seeing. And you're right, we're continuously learning more and more about nature. But the thing is, not a lot of people take action about it. And you want to take action. You said you're going to observe these vultures for a little bit longer, and then you might start telling people, like, listen, we need to rewrite these books. That's incredible.
Yeah. The thing here is, like, I'm not really going to, I'm just going to do an observation. Because in nature, first thing you normally do, you observe.
Yeah.
And then from there, you do an interpretation.
Yeah.
And if actually there is an answer that you are not getting, that is when you're going to involve those people that are experts in an area to share with them and definitely tell you more why. One thing that we do appreciate and we do understand is that changes are happening everywhere.
Mm. Yeah,
we have a lot of changes happening because of the habitat change and all that. And some of these creatures will also be forced to change their way of doing this thing for survival purposes and all that thing. So probably in the next maybe 1 year, I will try to find the answer to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. And tell me, do you prefer like just doing game drives, but or do you like to do bushwalks like we just did now? Do you like to mix it up with guests? Is it important for guests to also learn the smaller things? Or what is your opinion on game drives versus bushwalks?
You know what normally happens? We don't really do what we don't have things that we must have that. We just ask the guests their interest. Mm. And if by any chance there is somebody who is very interested on small things, you propose the best way to actually... the best way for him to get that kind of thing. So the best thing is mixing them, because you know, like, sometime we tell people what we do, we walk, we do even fly camping, we do game drive and all those kinds of things, because we want to give our guests the best experience, and we want to exhaust all mechanism of nature interaction. So I really like mixing all those kinds of things, because I'm pretty sure they will end up liking even the small thing that escape notice while we drive.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
We spoke to Andrew, who's the camp manager at Mara North Conservancy, at Kitchicha Mara North Camp, and he was mentioning, so we spoke about guiding and the quality of Kitchicha guides. Especially like yourself, we've stayed. This is now our third Kitchicha property on this particular trip that we're staying at. We started at Kitchicha Laikipia, then Kitchicha Mara North, and now Kitchicha Bush Camp. And all of our guides have been really incredible. The one thing that I've noticed is how good the communication is, like how good you interact with guests. And what Andrew told us is the thing about guiding is you can have all of this knowledge, but what makes a guide a good guide is the art of telling stories. Did you grow up in a family where your father was telling a lot of stories and you listened as a child? Or where did you learn how to tell all these interesting things that you're telling us, but in a way like it's a story? It's a story flowing. It's not just facts.
Definitely, this is a very interesting thing that I'm going to tell you today.
Yeah.
While I was growing up, I was so active in telling stories.
Yeah.
I was so active in reciting poems in school.
Yeah.
I was so active in composing my own even stories, like poems, to present them in the Kenya Music and Drama Competition Festival. So they have even given me an upper hand, and I grew up like that. And I have actually extended that. And it has helped me a great deal on how to tell stories and how even to make things, to package the information that I have in a very interesting way.
Mm.
Because sometimes you can be knowledgeable, but if you don't know how to package that small story, it might not be very presentable, it might be very enjoyable. But so what I really did from that and other things and learning guiding, I've actually tried to package my stories, my information in a very presentable way. Because I understand that's the only way they can be very engaging to my guests, and that is even to capture their attention and even make more look for more information, because that is what learning entails.
Yeah. I mean, I've been talking to the rest of our group here, and they all, like, while we were walking, after you told the story, like, the comments on in that sort of single file that we were walking, they were all saying like, what a good storyteller you are. So thank you so much for that. We do appreciate that. And it's, and I also think what helped is your teaching background is the fact that you are, as a teacher, you also probably taught the children like from a storytelling perspective, gave them these this information. So that's incredible. All right, Patrick. Well, I think, I mean, I'm so excited for the rest of our stay together. I know it's only one more game drive in the morning, but I'm looking forward to seeing what you're doing on that. And we really appreciate your time for this afternoon's bushwalk and the time that you took to actually have this conversation with me.
I would also like to say thank you so much for this moment. I really do appreciate it. And I would really like to have more game drive with you, but unfortunately that is it. But looking forward to meet you another time.
The goal is to bring guests here, and we'll request you as our guide, and we can learn lots more from
you. I'll be happy and I'll appreciate that.
Thanks, Patrick. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Thank you.